Sunday morning, Parshas Bamidbar, 1 week until Shavuos. Scary. Eric and Nita Mayer Women's Learning Division of Adas Yeshurun. So we have Mrs. Kaplan. Is Mrs. Roseanne mean Mrs. Arnett?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Mrs. Korenberg. 95 is Mrs. Newhouse? I'm not sure.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Who's 23?
Mrs. Bachrach, thank you, everybody.
Mrs. Bachrach, and 07?
Mrs. Libitsky, thank you, Rabbi Cohen.
You're welcome. And who is, iPhone Marsha is, okay. Okay, so welcoming everybody here this morning. Anybody want to give me a quick a yes or no? How many people were here yesterday morning when I spoke? Okay.
Yes.
No.
Mrs. Arnett said yes. And, okay.
Yes.
Mrs. Korenberg was here.
Yes.
You were here? Okay. Who else? Is it Kaplan, you were also here, or not?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Somebody else looked like they wanted to say yes. Okay. So I'm asking the two people who were here, I'm going to give a very quick review. Since you were here already, I'm not going to repeat everything. And then I would like to do what we normally do, except that we had a very, very big hosafa, an addendum to what we said, which I think is quite important. Let's talk. We have this unusual concept. It really is incomprehensible. Really is incomprehensible. That okay, so there is no nation in the history of the world that's like Klal Yisrael. We all know that. And another proof to that is this concept that in an agricultural society in which we do not live, agricultural society where everybody had their own piece of land, except for Kahanim like myself and Levium, everybody had their own piece of land in which they had space to grow different types of crops that were needed in order to have a healthy lifestyle, such as wheat, such as fruit, such as vegetables. And they had land which allowed animals to graze, such as cows that provided milk and meat, fowl that provided eggs, sheep that provided wool. And collectively, between the crops of cotton and fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts, and between the animals, a person would really be self-sufficient. And as the Torah dictates, really a person should never sell their land that they own. Land is something you should always hold on to. And if you have to sell the land, you should try to make sure that you keep at least one field for yourself. However, there's another set of halachas, not in yesterday's parsha, explicitly, but definitely tangentially, and that is that if a person has no money, and he has to sell his land, after selling his land, he has nothing left to sell, and he still has no hatzlacha, then he sells himself, Rachman al-Atslan, as an eved, as a slave. Then, after 6 years, when he can go out, if he doesn't want to go out because he has nowhere to go, he doesn't see that he's going to be able to make it, he inflicts a hole, he puts a hole into his ear, and he stays with his master forever. Now, forever is explained to mean until Yovel. So says Rav Shamshel Fohr Hirsch that on Yovel, What happened was, we rebooted, as I said yesterday, saying this all very quickly, we rebooted. All land was returned back to its original owner, even though a person may have been wealthy and for 48 years had this incredible, incredible piece of real estate, which he produced all types of crops and grazed all types of animals and anything you needed he had. And now after 48 years of living this way, he has to return the land because the land that he bought came from a person who sold it, and now it's Yovel, and therefore all the land goes back. And if the man had a group of slaves working for him, Eved Ivri working for him, they all went home. They all went home. Rebooting. Rishon Shafal Hirsch adds that the rebooting took place, the signal for it to take place was in Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur, everybody had a reboot on an individual basis. And part of this is related to the concept of Sfira. Sfira Sa'imer. Okay. Sfira Sa'imer. Incredible concept, Sfira Sa'imer. Shansha Fall Hirsch mentions that Sfira Sa'imer, it says in the Torah, Usfartam Lechem, count for yourself in the plural, because everybody had to count their own individual accounting in order to get from Pesach to Shavuos, to up their game. But when it comes to the counting of Yovel, it's for Sefarta Lecha, singular, because that rebooting is for everybody together as one. Therefore, it's in the singular form. And it's basically what we said yesterday morning, obviously with a little bit more. However, there's another question here about Shemitah and Yovel, which has to be examined. And I'll tell you exactly what happened. Shemitah and Yovel, Rabbi Yaakov Anetsky asked a kasha. This kasha bothered me for decades. Rabbi Yaakov Anetsky wants to know that Rashi mentions in Parshas Bechukosai and in the and in Eicha, Rashi mentions that the 70 years of Golos, it comes from Chazal, the 70 years of Golos that we live through as a nation in Bavel, 70 years detached from Eretz Israel, 70 years under the rule of the Babylonian Empire, 70 years with all types of issues, all types of issues. I want to welcome Mrs. Goldenberg, who also has joined us, and Mrs. Olovich, who has joined us as well. If I left anybody out, please let me know. And so Rabbi Yaakov Minesky wants to know, how is it possible that for 70 years, 70 different Shemitah cycles, Klal Yisrael did not keep Shemitah and Yovel? You're talking about, whatever, 490 years. It's a big cheshbon in Rashi, what it means, how many years. It's a tremendous amount of time. How is it possible that for 70 years, Klal Yisrael didn't keep Shemitah? Several years ago, in Journey of Torah, I think it was number 3 or number 4, we went to Eretz Yisrael during a Shemitah year, and I called up the people in charge, and I said, we'd like to come. We landed on Monday. We'd like to come on Monday afternoon, Tuesday. He said, it's impossible to come. The mud is there's too much mud. I said, listen, Rabbi, I grew up on a farm. I told this to the person on the phone. I know what mud is. No, he says, you don't understand what mud is. You can't come. It's impossible. Every day we called, too much mud. Finally, Friday, next to the last day before we left until Shabbos and Sunday. He said, you can come. So we got there. They had a tractor. Have you ever seen a tractor? Tractors have big wheels. The mud, I never saw anything like it in my life. The mud was gigantic. It was unbelievable. We were pulled around by a tractor, and it was like 6 feet of mud. And next to this field of mud, there was a field of lush green vegetation. What was the difference? The field of mud, they did not allow planting. They kept Shemitah. In the field of vegetation, they did not keep Shemitah. The difference was not Shaykh. It was impossible to comprehend if you didn't see it. Impossible. Mud. Deep, deep mud. And here, vegetation. Okay. So I asked Yaakov Anetsky, what happened? During those 70 years, during the first base of Migdash, it was vegetation? Nobody kept Shemitah and Yovel? She said, no, it's not true. Everybody kept Shemitah and Yovel. I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody wants to unmute themselves and answer the question, I'm glad to hear what you have to say. I'm on a plane. I used to fly often, haven't flown that often. I used to fly once a month, at least once a month for Simchas Baruch Hashem. So on a plane, you know, sometimes I get a seat, whatever, with miles, a seat closer to the front, sometimes even in first class or business class. And I see these sophisticated looking people in their 60s and their 70s with their laptops. I assume they're engaged in business, not wanting to waste a second. I look over and I see these, again, sophisticatedly dressed men. Look like, you know, your typical CEO with their laptop playing solitaire for an hour. Or playing poker for an hour. Tell me, somebody on the phone, how would you explain such a thing? What is the person doing? Tell me, somebody tell me on the phone. How do you understand? Person has time. So what do you do when you have time? Somebody explain it to me. What do you do when you have time?
They're escaping from their everyday activities.
Okay. And it could be that, you know, people have to relax also. I'm not saying people don't have to relax. People have to relax. But I want to say something. Says Rashi and say Chazal that what is a person supposed to do during a Shemitah? And this applies to men, and it could apply to women as well. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to learn Torah. Learn Torah. Now, for an entire year, every seventh year, and for entire 2 years, every 49th and 50th year, I'm popping a candy into my mouth. I already made a bracha, so I'm not going to make one now. For a year or 2 years, everybody was learning Torah. It's unbelievable. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's not the pshat that since there's a din of Shemitah and Yovel and you can't plant, so go learn. No. He says not the pshat. So the pshat is that part of Shemitah and Yovel is that during the 49th and 50th year, people had to learn Torah. That's part and parcel of the mitzvah. And then he says an incredible chiddush that for the 70 years in which they didn't keep Shemitah and Yovel, it doesn't mean the land wasn't fallow. The land was fallow. And they didn't plant. So what does it mean they didn't keep Shemitah? Unbelievable. They did not keep Shemitah and Yovel because they didn't learn. That's also part and parcel of the mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everybody in Klal Yisrael to be educated in Torah law. And we understand that during the week in which you have to work, it's very difficult to do that. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's one of the principles of Shabbos, is that everybody should spend time learning. I have a set of svar in my house called Shiltas Rav Achoy Goyin. Shiltas Rav Achoy Goyin was written by one of the Goyin, we're talking more than 1,000 years ago. On Shabbos afternoon, this person would give a shiur for 4 hours. And afterwards it was written down, and that became the Shiltas Rav Achoy Goyin. But even more recently, 150 years ago, the Ben Ish Chai, the great Sephardi leader, would give a shiur. I don't remember which country it was. Maybe Morocco, I don't remember. I'm sorry for not remembering which country. He would give a shiur for 4 hours Shabbos afternoon without a microphone to 5,000 people. And they said it was incredible to hear him speak. The eyewitnesses who wrote down what happened. That's what Shabbos was made for. We don't have anybody who can go to barely a 40-minute shiur, let alone a 4-hour shiur. We have exceptions in Yeshurun on Shavuos night. People come to shiur for 4 hours and 40 minutes. It's incredible. Incredible. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's not an addendum. That's not an indirect peace that comes out of the fact that there's nothing to do. That is part and parcel of Shemitah and Yovel. So last night, I prepared this piece by Rabbi Yaakov Maneski. And before I had a chance to say over exactly what happened, one of the older members of the shul, a sophisticated, highly sophisticated person, a lawyer and an accountant, he challenged the entire process of how is it possible, speaking as an accountant and a lawyer, after 48 years of owning property, or 40 years of owning property, or 35 years of owning property, mitamol, everybody gives up their property. It should have been a rebellion. Anybody familiar with communist history, Yamach Shimon v'Zichron? How many people Stalin killed when he got them to move off their farms and move out of the city and move to the farms? And how much food did they take away from the farmers? Nobody likes to talk about the fact that Stalin killed 25 million of his own people. Forget about during the war. There's no words to describe a monster like Stalin. Yemach Shema Yizichre. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? How is it possible to do such a thing? To get millions of people to move off their land without war, without a civil war? I told the person he's asking a gevaldik akasha. But he's making a big mistake. And maybe that's what's going on over here. There was no police force in Klal Yisrael. As the Busted Rebbe Zatzal once said, the biggest city in the world, a city the size of Bnei Brak, 150,000 people, 25 years ago, did not have a police station. There was no city in the world of that size without a police station. I'm talking about the, whatever, I don't want to say any adjectives about the sheet of defund the police. 150,000 people living in a city and no police department, incredible. So I wanted to say to this person, perhaps the answer to its question is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. If every seventh year everybody took off and sat and learned Torah for a year, maybe they paid a little bit of solitaire in the middle, but they didn't play solitaire all day. They learned Torah. And forget about the knowledge that they acquired. Torah it transforms people. It has transformative powers. And the transformative powers are so great that a person is capable of giving away his fields. His fields, you don't even know what it means, the field. You're living in agricultural society, you're giving away your life. People are capable of giving away their fields. And that's because the people were attached to the Ruchnias. That's where we're supposed to live. Zakhar Yankim, that for those 70 Shemitahs, the people were not attached as much as they should have been attached. Because the goal, which is part and parcel of the halachic basis of Shemitah and Yovel, is to learn Torah, and they weren't doing it. The midos tovos that our gedolim, our tzaddikim, and our tzidkonios had is because they were involved in understanding the Dvar Hashem. When you're involved in the same Dvar Hashem, the midos that a person can have are incredible. In the rest of the world, there's no shaychis. Any yeshiva, any seminary, there is time spent on teaching and learning ethical behavior through mussar of the highest level, ethical behavior of the highest level that gives people incredible milas and midos taivais. As I once challenged a brilliant woman who was at my house who had a degree from, I believe it was from Yale and Harvard, I said, do they have mussar seder? Is there any time when people sit down, are they required to ever sit down for 15 minutes and contemplate about who they are and what they're doing, and is there a God? What's my purpose in life? She got very upset with me. Maybe she thought my tone was, whatever. That's what it means to learn Torah. That's what it means to be part and parcel of a system in which is a Shemitah every seventh year. This that there is known in the university system called a sabbatical year is for a teacher to recharge their batteries and continue to learn more details about the field that they are involved in. Here there was an entire country, an entire nation that every 7 years stopped what they were doing and learned Torah. And every 50th year they had for 2 years in a row, 49 and 50. And Zok Chazal, they didn't do it the way they should have done it. And therefore they didn't attain what they could have attained. And that's why we went to Golis for 70 years. Rabbi Yaakov says it means the learning aspect. The planting aspect they did. They observed the planting, the plowing, the sowing, and everything else that was going on. They observed it all. And maybe the fields are full of mud, or, of course, miraculously, as it says in yesterday's Kriya, Hashem said, I'll take care, don't worry. What am I going to eat? Hashem said, I'll take care. And plants grew from last year's seeds that fell in the ground, whatever happened. There was food. There was food, there was water, there was materials to make clothing. Everything worked out during the Shemitah year. It's unbelievable. Miraculously. And then the Sultan came in, as we all know, when the Sultan comes in. You know. License and registration, please. You know, demanding from Avraham Avinu. Unbelievable. That, Rabbi says, what we're doing here this morning. This question of how is it possible there wasn't insurgency, there wasn't anarchy, there wasn't rebellion within the country, is because, I think, personally, that's our obligation, Rabbi Yisrael. That's who we are as a people. That's what's unique about our system. It makes no sense that people living in agricultural society should sit back and rely completely and totally on God. That's what's going on here. So in the seventh year, close the plow, put it back in the barn, let the fields open, let anybody take anything they want, and you go to Beis Medrash and you learn. And that's where all the Jewish people were found during the Shemitah year. And the result was incredible. Then we slowly dropped off. Not we didn't drop off of the so to speak, the letter of the law of not plowing. We didn't plow. We didn't, things were left fallow, but we didn't learn. And maybe at the end it became difficult to keep the laws also because we didn't learn, therefore we were going to leave my field fallow. That's who Klal Yisrael is. That's who Klal Yisrael is. And maybe it's no coincidence that the parsha very close to Shavuos, which is really supposed to be Al Pi the Gemara, supposed to be Bahar B'chukosai, or at least B'chukosai, maybe it's telling us that when we get to Matan Torah, that we accepted all Taryag mitzvahs, including this mitzvah of having a year or 2 years every 50th year, the 49th or the 50th year, or every 7th year, off. So Rabbi Yisai, I'm mentioning to all of us, Api Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Api what we said yesterday morning, and Api what we said yesterday afternoon, Shemitah is a rebooting, which is incredible. Hashem gives us a chance to reboot. We reboot everything and everything starts again. Every Yom Kippur is a personal rebooting. Okay, I want to end by saying that next week, I not next week, I think after Shavuos, Shavuos this year is Monday, Tuesday is Shavuos. We start Shavuos Sunday night. I'm wondering, what do you think, Rabbi Yisai? Next Sunday morning when we have Shia, should we have it in Shul? Are you up to it? That's my question. Are you up to having Shia in Shul?
I love it, having it on Zoom.
Yeah.
So do I.
I understood that. I tell you the truth, I even like part of the things of having a Zoom. There are some milas of me as well. So maybe what we would do is we'll do it both ways. We'll have it in Shul and have Zoom. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
And we'll see what happens if we can get back to Shul. We'll see what happens if we can get back to Shul. Okay, so I want to end. It's before Shavuos. Kabbalah Satorah. I might give a special shiur for women this week about what Kabbalah Satorah means. I'm thinking of really doing that. I'd like to do it. And we should... how is a person makabel the Torah if they don't come to shul to learn all night? I'd like to be able to do that also. So I'll let everybody know when that will take place. And next week, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, will be zeicha to at least maybe partially return to shul. Okay, I'm wishing everybody hatzlacha. And Tuesday, what's that?
I have a question.
Yes.
The main minion now downstairs or are we still upstairs? I was confused by the 8:45.
This past Shabbos, for the first time in a long time, we officially began once again having the 8:45 minion, which has now been relocated to the base medrash. And we had a fairly nice minyan. There were about 21 men and about 15 women downstairs in the base, what is presently called the base medrash. And in what's presently called the base Knesset, or some people call the main shul, is where the 820 minyan was. And there is a machitza in both locations. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We'll see how things.
Is that the one that's in the base of Midrash? Is that the one that was originally upstairs in the?
That's the one that was originally in the main shul. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Rabbi Korn.
Yes.
I apologize. Can I ask just a quick question about what you just spoke about a moment ago?
Please.
So you mentioned your trip to Israel, and you mentioned visiting the farm and the mud. But what did you uncover then in your visit there? Maybe I misunderstood. But was the field with the mud the one where they didn't keep Shemitah? Maybe I just misunderstood.
No. The field with the mud is the one where they kept Shemitah. They didn't plant. So there was no crops in the ground.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So the ground was just full of mud. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Never saw anything like it in my life. One of the people reminded me, I didn't even know this, that, you know, when you harvest a field and you pull out the crops, seeds fall out of the crops that you pull out. And the Torah mentions it. It's called Sefiach. Samach Fe Yud Ches. Sefiach means like perennials. Things that grow up without being officially planted, they grow up because they were the seeds that fell last year. So in the middle of this mud, there was a little plant, and the driver of the tractor said that that's kalayim, because it was a little bit of wheat that blew over from somewhere else with some grapes. It was kalayim. And he said it has to be ripped up. See, he told me, I don't remember, he said, I jumped off the tractor in my suit and hat, and I pulled out the kalayim. I didn't remember that. I remember after he told me, I remembered. And we did two other mitzvahs there also about separating shumas and maisers. It was an unbelievable thing. But the ikar is that, again, we can't appreciate what it means. You know, somebody in the, you know, you can't appreciate it. Somebody in the nursing home business, you can't close your business. People are going to die. You can't close your business. And here, people just stop working. for a year and sometimes 2 years. That's why the Torah says this incredible thing. What are we going to eat? Kashin Pashas Bahar, when the Torah mentions a Kasha. And only a Kodesh Baruch Hu can say that. I think Rav Noach Weinberg has it in one of his 48 ways. You want the biggest proof that the Torah has to come from God? Which man-made society can tell everybody the seventh year, don't plant and don't worry about it? It's impossible. 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 Okay. So we should all be zeicha to Hatzlacha, Rabbi. Thank you all for calling in. As I mentioned, I'll let everybody know when, hopefully there'll be a special shiur for women this week about Shavuos. And then next Shabbos afternoon we'll have Pirkei Avos and the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. And next Sunday morning, Bez Hashem, we'll have shiur as well. Okay, Hatzlacha, Rabbi, to everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you all for calling in.